Tonight, we want to look at the four levels of spiritual warfare. I was in Manchester, New Hampshire, probably 5 years ago, with Bob White, who was a former student here. He came here when he was in his 40s as a student and got baptized in the Holy Spirit here. And they called Bob the Amen Bob. We had to go back a number of years at Asbury, but in the chapel, he gave very loud amens. He was the only one who did. But I met an evangelist by the name of Mosey Bandugia, who had written the book, Four Levels of Spiritual Warfare. And I had at that time known about three levels, and then I read his book. It was published in Nigeria. And by the way, the man has a tremendous anointing. He's preached in 60, I think, or 70 countries in the world. Had a tremendous anointing and a tremendous teaching. And as I read this, I said, this is, he's got something here. And so I want to begin tonight with this, and we'll have several parts to this four levels of spiritual warfare. But tonight I want to begin with Ephesians chapter 6, which seems to me to be the most obvious place to look, to kind of give you an outline of the four levels, to kind of define what they are. Then, after that, maybe we'll have time to look at one level, what I'm going to call the cosmic level. But let's look at Ephesians 6, turn to there, that chapter, and verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. We need the strength of the Lord. We need to understand we are weak. Paul boasted of his weakness so that the power and strength of the Lord could, you know. The closer I get to the Lord, the more I realize how weak I am. Of course, maybe that's because I'm getting older. We're mortal. Put on the full armor of God. Now, I'm going to say more about this. I was going to skip over this, but the Lord said don't, so I won't. But put on the full armor of God. Now, in the morning when I pray, one of the things I do is put on the armor. I mean, the parts of the armor. I actually go through the process of using my hands. I use my hands to do a lot of things. I can't speak without using my hands. But put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes or wiles of the devil. Now, the devil is clever. The devil is intelligent. Don't think I've heard spirit-filled people call the devil a turkey and ignorant. And God doesn't want us to use railing accusation, it says in Jude.
Right.
Don't use railing accusation. Now, Satan is the evil one who is behind all evil. By the way, remember, when you see men who are murderers or adulterers or who are deceivers and liars and so forth, remember, Satan is behind that. Be angry with Satan, not people. Pray for people, no matter how depraved they may seem to be. Behind evil is Satan. But you need to be able to stand, and see, we can stand. We do have it. I mean, in Luke 10, it says we have authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. I mean, anything that the enemy has, we have power over. In Christ, because he's our head. Not in ourselves, but as Christ is our head and we are part of him. We are his feet, his hands. And so, but we need to be aware of the schemes of the devil, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. I like the King James. It says, we wrestle not. Mm-hmm. And I've never been a wrestler except as a kid. You know how you do. You wrestle. Well, I should say as boys do. Not sure the girls do, but anyway, some may do. But wrestling is something that is continual combat. You don't have, I mean, you just continually are in combat. There's not a place really to rest. And so it's not that, and we don't need to be uptight about this. The thing we need to understand is, first understand what he's doing. This is why we're teaching this. We need to understand what he's doing. We need to understand. The more we understand, the less we fear. And the more we understand, the more we are able to take walk in faith so that we can come against successfully what the enemy is doing. Because no matter what he is doing, no matter how much power he is using, the power of God is greater. I don't even know what multiple.
Praise God.
10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000 times. God's power is greater than any power of the devil. But the power of the devil is supernatural. Even dark power is supernatural. And therefore, if we try to operate in the natural against the supernatural, we're defeated.
Amen.
Therefore, as Christians, we must learn how to operate in the power of the Spirit and understand our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against rulers, principalities, and powers, these are authorities, and against world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Now, I'm going to break down verse 12. I just read verse 12, but I'm going to break down verse 12 because the powers are in, I believe, four levels of power. And we have here on the overhead, or on the PowerPoint, the cosmic level. Then number two, the occult level, in two divisions. And then the earth level. And on the next PowerPoint, the personal level. Where demonic powers are operating directly. The last two levels, at the earth level and at the personal level, is where there is direct demonic attack on us as individuals. We'll get to that. In fact, I won't get to the details of that tonight, but we'll get to the pattern of this to try to explain as the Lord has shown me. Now, when we look at the highest level, it is the word here in verse 12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers or principalities. What is this Greek word, rulers or principalities? By the way, the devil in John 12:31 is supposedly the ruler of this cosmos, is the Greek word. That's where we get cosmic level. The cosmic level is based on the Greek word cosmos. And Satan is the ruler of this whole system. He is the ultimate ruler of the whole system. He's behind the whole system. And this cosmic level, we have to go back to the Greek word cosmos. What is the cosmos? Well, in English, we can use the word world. But the word world is not a good translation. We don't have an English word that means what the Greek word cosmos means. See, this is one of the problems as you translate language. By the way, the original language of the Bible, Greek and Hebrew, for the most part, a little Chaldean, but mostly Greek and Hebrew, Greek in the New Testament and Hebrew in the Old Testament, even that is a limitation on the Holy Spirit's knowledge, because the Holy Spirit dictated the Bible to these people and they received it in the Spirit and the Holy Spirit made it alive, but you have to take spiritual, high spiritual truth of God and put it in human language. And the moment you put it in human language, even in the original languages, you have limited the understanding unless the Holy Spirit is coming on you as you read it. The same Holy Spirit that came on John, that came on Paul, that wrote this letter. I mean, that same Holy Spirit that came on the authors of the Bible, Moses in the Old Testament. That same Holy Spirit, and they had to put it in a language. But that limits the understanding the moment you put it in a language. But if you read it under the anointing of the Spirit of God, then the Holy Spirit can make it alive to you. The Holy Spirit's made this alive to me. So I'm asking the Holy Spirit tonight to make it alive to you. Because only as the Holy Spirit makes this alive to you, and you have understanding not only with your mind, but in your spirit man or spirit woman, you need understanding here. Because this is only understood spiritually. All right, cosmos. This is a system and an order of things. Satan's system is a highly organized system. It's a governmental system. But it doesn't have to do just with a political government. It has to do with the government of the church and the government of organizations. In other words, the cosmic level, or these chief, the highest generals in terms of the military, it would be like a five-star, the five-star generals. Mm-hmm. And these cosmic levels, they are, their purpose is to control and manipulate human beings on the earth. Now, God doesn't want any of his people manipulated and controlled. He gives us free will. We can choose to follow him or not to follow him. And so God loves freedom, and he gives us free will. That's where all freedom comes from.
Yeah.
That God gave us freedom.
Praise
that God gave us freedom of our will to choose him or choose against him. The most important choice we can make. This is where all freedom comes from. Because freedom politically or economically or socially in the world today only comes from the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. No other place. This is why America's been a free country, politically, economically. It's changing. It's changing rapidly. Very rapidly. But it came out of the freedom that God gives through the Word of God. Because Jesus is the Word become flesh, and Jesus is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And the truth's what set us free. It sets us free. The truth of God, if we take it into our minds and our hearts, the truth of God sets us free. So this cosmic level, these are the highest over the whole world. Satan first, and then I will be talking about, if we have time to talk about both of them, we'll see. I will be talking about two, especially two cosmic level spirits. The spirit of Babylon and the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Babylon and the spirit of Antichrist. Now, these are directly under Satan, and they are spread throughout the world. In fact, I can't go into this deeply tonight, but when you see Beelzebub as ruler of the demons in Matthew 16, I think it is, I'd have to check the chapter. But Beelzebub is ruler of the demons. He is. It really comes from Baal. Zebub, prince of Baal, or Beelzebub, who is directly under Satan to control the... And Baal is the male spirit, and then there is a female queen of heaven spirit that cooperates. So you have Satan, you have Beelzebub or Baal, and you have the queen of heaven spirit, for example, Jezebel. In the Old Testament and the New, had a queen of heaven spirit. What's the purpose of all of them? Kind of trinity of evil here. Control and manipulate people. Not give them freedom, but to control and manipulate. The Babylonian system, which began with the Tower of Babel, and we'll see here in a minute, I'll take you into Revelation and not long here, and we'll look at more about this. So this cosmos is a governmental system under the control of Satan, with Beelzebub and the Queen of Heaven Spirit underneath Satan, controlling the people through a governmental system independent of God, and hating God and hating the Word of God and hating Jesus. Mm-hmm. Hating with intense hatred.
Yes.
Determined to destroy and bring to death all people of God, Jews and Christians.
Yeah.
Because they are one, as Ron was saying, they are one. We are one. Abraham came into covenant, and we come into that same covenant through Christ. He looking forward to Christ, we looking back to Christ. Because it's Christ's blood that forgives our sin, for we can receive him and then enter into the kingdom. So you have this cosmic level over the world, and the Antichrist spirit and the Babylon spirit I will define as we come along. Now, in the next word, in verse 12, you have against powers. Now, that should be, the Greek word is exousia. It should be translated authority. The English word authority is a much better word than the word power, because authority means delegated power from above. Authority, you were given, a policeman is given authority by the state if he's a state policeman, or by a city if he's a city policeman. It isn't his authority, but he's given authority by the person who has the power. And so this is the authority that you and I are given. Jesus is the head, and he gives us authority. But Satan has these same... See, Satan copies God. Everything that God does in the Bible, Satan copies this. And so Satan gives underneath him, underneath the highest cosmic level, what I'm calling the occult level, but in two divisions. Now, notice the authorities, that's the word here, against authorities, the authorities are subordinates, and they are over nations and tribes and city-states. Later, probably not in this teaching, but the next time, we'll look at Diana of the Ephesians and read the book of Acts, Acts 19. Because Diana of the Ephesians, a queen of heaven spirit, a female spirit, by the way, see, the enemy has a female spirit to control people and a male spirit to control people. And so, but all to bring under control, from the top down, total control and force, using force. See, remember this, political government of man, all government of man, listen, all government of man is an affair of force. Now, where do we need force? We need force to keep murderers from roaming the streets, drug addicts from roaming the streets, adulterers from assailing our families. We need force where the moral law of God affects all people.
Yep.
Wherever the moral, not just Christians, I mean, thou shalt not kill applies to Christians and non-Christians. Thou shalt not commit adultery should apply, doesn't anymore. Should apply to Christians and non-Christians.
Yep.
So you have to have force there. But God doesn't want force in government except in the areas that he defines. And when he says, this is a right from me, you have the right to life, then you should, by force, protect the right to life. Not the right to take life, that we call free choice, but the right to protect life. Because God gave life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness or property. These are rights God gave. See, men imagine in government they create rights, but if government creates rights, that means then all of your freedom depends on the government. And all of your rights depend on the government. But they don't. That's a lie. They depend on God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And so, these authorities are over nations and tribes and city-states. And as I said a minute ago, we'll look at Diana of the Ephesians in the Acts. Now, the next word, it's translated world forces, but it's really cosmos creator. There it is in B. World rulers of this darkness who rule over small political units and various other human organizations. I believe that Satan, under this level, has control, or at least attempts, I should say, if men will allow it, attempts to control every organization that men establish, political, social, economic. I believe corporations are being more and more taken over by the enemy. Governments at every level are being taken over, certainly, by the enemy. And so, God, and this it's cosmos, all right, that's that system we talked about. But Krator means by force, to seize by force. So, these world rulers, this is in the spirit realm. They're rulers in the spirit realm. Over all rulers on the earth, political, human. The only way we can come out from under them is by being in Christ and following his word and following his way. That's why we've had a free country, because most of our founders, and since then, until recently, in recent years, we have had people who have been willing to follow the law of God. Even Thomas Jefferson, who wasn't a formal Christian, read the Bible and believed the moral law of the Bible was the absolute law that ought to govern the nation.
Praise God.
All of our founders believed that the Bible was the absolute law of the Constitution, underneath the Constitution. And that the Constitution, if it expressed something that was inconsistent with the Bible, was no law at all. That's what all lawyers used to be taught. That's certainly not anymore. But you see, these rulers are underneath. My point is this. Even if you don't remember the names here, the point is this. Whether it's the highest level, world level,
Whether it's the national level, whether it's the city-state, whether it's a local government, whether it's a business organization, whether it's a church organization.
Yeah.
By the way, the enemy is strong against to try to control church organizations. Every organization of man, he wants to have total control over. Now, the third level is what I call earth level spirits. They're called in the scripture here spiritual hosts of wickedness. Now, they are the infantry of the enemy. Here's where I've dealt with them more. I haven't dealt with the cosmic and occult level very much. God has been teaching me over the last few years about this level. But I think this, those first two levels, we must be, one individual can't come against these. We must be united as Christians who are spirit-filled Christians, led by the Holy Spirit, all together, coming in unity and in harmony against these forces. In other words, you can't just pray a prayer against the spirit of Antichrist and cause it to leave. Because now, when you get down to a personal level, that we'll get into a little bit, but not much tonight. When you get down to a personal level, these are the last two levels, earth level, personal level, they have to do with what Satan and demonic powers do to try, number one, in the earth level, these spiritual hosts try to penetrate inside human beings. Some people call it demonic possession, being possessed. I think that's a poor word. We'll look at that later a lot in a separate teaching. But I don't think really Satan is able to possess any human being. Now, is he able to penetrate inside people to control them? Yes, if they sin and give open opportunity for the enemy. Mm-hmm. See, Satan cannot just attack someone and come in them and control them. We have to give ground to the enemy. So don't worry about, Satan's going to be able to control you. Mm-hmm. He isn't. You have to give in, you have to sin, and you need to continue in sinning. Certain sins, let's say sexual sins, they begin in the mind, and they begin with our will and exercising our will in the wrong way. But if we continue and continue and continue and continue, we can open ourselves to an actual demonic force that would come within us. And that's a much deeper level. I've prayed with people that have gotten under that. We'll look at those things later. I'm trying to outline these, the four here. Now, if you look at 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, let's do that. I'll use this 2 Corinthians 10 again later. But 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. We are destroying speculations. All right, now, one of the keys to earth level and personal level spirits is Satan attacks our mind, our thoughts. If you can get control of our thought life, that's his foot in the door. We're destroying speculations against the knowledge of God. See, Satan doesn't want you to have true knowledge of God. By the way, true knowledge of God is not just intellectual. Knowledge, knowing in the Hebrew, knowing in the Greek, is participating and receiving the life of God. I know my mother and father not because I know when they were born or I know this about them or that about them. I was a part of them. I came out of them. Their life flowed into my life and God's life behind it. And so I know them. And we know God. We receive His life. His life participates in us. And we are taking every thought captive in obedience to Christ. And we are destroying speculations. I skipped this. We are destroying speculations in every high thing. Now, high thing. The Greek word here for high thing is talking about astrological ideas, occult ideas. For example, you're born under a certain sign. therefore, this is how, this is your character. This is what's going to happen to you. This is your personality. This is your fate. See, it's a lie of the enemy. But did you ever get a thought in your mind that was evil? And you said, where did that come from? There was no reason. You were not looking at anything. And of course, you can look at something and you can get an evil thought. But I mean, just suddenly something jumped into your mind. These are things in the heavenlies, demonic forces. See, demonic forces, I used to think demonic, everything demonic was just crazy and made no sense. But you know the people who have been most influenced by demonic forces and ideas? Intellectuals.
Yeah.
I don't have time to give you examples. Intellectuals. Well, Karl Marx was certainly one. Pastor Wormbrand, who was imprisoned by the communists for 13 years, I got to know, and he wrote a book on Marx and Satan. And Marx wrote a paper when he was 18 about the divinity of Christ and how he loved Christ. And within less than a year, he wrote something, a poem called Ulanum, which was a praise to death and a praise to Satan and a praise to crushing humanity and destroying humanity. Mm-hmm. Communism, out of Marx, has destroyed more people than any movement in history. I know this is true. I spent much of my life teaching Russian history and history of the Cold War. 100 million people at least died in China under the Chinese communists. 100 million people in Russia died under the communists. All by force, with massive, I mean, far beyond anything ever Hitler ever did. And Hitler was evil, certainly. But I mean, the level of evil here is very, very, very powerful. But these ideas, these are powers, here's the purpose of these powers and these thoughts and imaginations that God wants to, or the enemy wants to fill our mind with. The purpose is to separate us from God. And you, listen, even if you come to Christ, you come into Christ and you'll be one with Christ. But unless you pray, unless you stay in the Word, unless you act on the Word, you won't develop the mind of Christ. And you must stay in the Word and develop the mind of Christ. If you develop the mind of Christ and act on the Word, and the power of God is flowing, then you will be able to resist any of these things that, I mean, when the Antichrist comes, it's going to appear he's going to be a man of peace to bring peace to the whole world.
Yeah.
And you know, it says in Revelation that you're not going to be able to buy and sell without the mark of the beast. I believe it would be on the forehead or the hand with technology that is ultraviolet that allows the number to be shown through on the skin. But you won't be able to buy and sell. No, I think this is literally going to be true. Well, if you don't have a strong faith in Christ, you'll say, well, I'll starve to death if I don't accept this. No, you won't. If you believe Jesus, he'll provide for you. So God wants you to know he'll provide. Now, the personal level, can you go to the next? The personal level, other spiritual hosts, these other infantry, here is where all human beings on the earth, and we'll look at each one of these individually later. But all human beings on the earth are faced with these kinds of demonic attacks. It's on your mind. And it's lies. It's lies to bring you into fear, to bring you into lust, to bring you into anger, to bring you into bitterness, resentment, shame, guilt, condemnation. Because, see, these things that we call psychological problems there are psychological problems, but what psychiatrists and psychologists, even most Christians, don't know is that most of, like depression, deep depression, there is an entry of the demonic forces. There is a spirit of depression. Now, when you're depressed, does that mean you have a spirit of depression? No. But you can, and at this level, it's not where demons come in you.
It's where your mind is convinced. And when someone's depressed, there's always something behind it. Let's say I've seen fear behind depression, different kinds of fear, fear of death, fear of performance, different kinds of fear. And if these things come and they possess and you are controlled, I've seen people so controlled they couldn't even move. They couldn't even, some people were afraid to go out of the house, they were so controlled by fears. Well, if you're controlled by these fears in your mind, this is an example of personal level where the mind is controlled by the enemy. Now, let me go back and look at the armor, because I don't have this on the PowerPoint, but I want you to look at the scripture in Ephesians 6. Because I want to mention something about the armor, because the armor is taken not because, oh goodness, Satan's going to get me, but because when I get in a car, I put on my seatbelt. Even if there weren't a law, I still, before they had a law, I put on my seatbelt. I didn't expect to have an accident, but I thought it would have wisdom to be cautious. And so I think it's wisdom to understand that the enemy is attacking. We don't have to be worried and look behind the chair or under the bed and be afraid of demonic power. That's not why I talk about this. But it's, we need to come to put on the armor of God. That's what Paul says. I want to look, and I want to give you a brief, it could be an entire teaching on this, but I want to give you a brief definition of taking the armor of God. Therefore, because of all this, take up the full armor of God, verse 13, Ephesians 6, that you may be able to resist the devil in the evil day, having done everything and to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having your loins girded with truth. All right? Gird your loins with truth. Why is truth? Well, where is truth first? It's here. This is the only source of truth. I remember when I was saved back in 1963 in the Methodist Church in Grove City, Pennsylvania. I went down to the altar. The preacher didn't know what I was doing. My wife didn't know. I just decided I had been a believer in my mind. I had never received Christ. And down I went. I received Christ. After I received Christ, I had a witness. And the Lord spoke to me very clearly. And he said, son, I want you to read my word. I want you to understand that there is no truth outside of my word. There is no truth. Jesus is the word become flesh. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the truth will set you free. Gird that around. And by the way, the truth needs to get in your mind and then get in your heart. Get it in your mind, get it in your heart. And you're going to have to allow the Holy Spirit to do that. The truth won't come into your mind and in your heart. If it's in your heart, you'll act on it. Let me say it again. If it's in your heart, that's how you know whether it's in your heart. You believe it before you see it, and you act on it. And there is no such thing as relative truth. That's what Babylon teaches. I mentioned that last time. Babylon, the system of Satan that he controls, and all these four levels. See, all these four levels Babylon operates in. Satan operates in. And the truth is absolute. There is no such thing as relative truth. When you say truth is relative, you define truth away. There is no. There's no such thing as relative truth. And yet in polls of Christian young people in Christian colleges, the majority by far say truth is relative. We are confused. There isn't even a question whether you know Christ. Really. If you really know Christ, you know He is the only truth. There is no other truth. Believe me, there is no truth but eternal truth. It doesn't have any beginning, it doesn't have any end. All right. Now, then, it says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, right standing with God. How can we How can we be in right standing with God? Only one way. That is to believe God, believe His truth. And if we believe His truth, then that truth will come, well, as I said a minute ago, not just into our mind, but into our hearts, and we act on it. See, when Abraham received the promise of God that he would not just have Isaac, but that he would have descendants as the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky, the Bible says, in Romans, Paul says, that he was righteous before God. Righteous the moment he believed. Not when Isaac was born. Not when all of the descendants there, by the way, he's still getting descendants. Some of the promises of God are fulfilled after we die. Some before we die. But we are not righteous. God does not consider us righteous. Why do you call me good, Jesus said? Only my Father is good. I must will the will of my Father. And Jesus could have willed something else, but he never did. He's a man as well as God. He's the only man who always willed the will of God. And that's what you need to do. Therefore, you need to know the will of God. That's the key to prayer. God will hear you if you know the will and join your will with the will of God. And if you do, you're in right standing. He considers you righteous, and he loves it if you'll believe before you see it. All right. Truth, righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I go forward in Christ with my feet, and it is the gospel of peace. It's the good news about peace. What's peace? The world wants peace. Isaiah and Jeremiah prophesy. They cry, peace, peace, when there is no peace. There's no peace. Listen, where did I see this? Well, anyway, it was on the internet, and there was a sign about world peace, and there was an organization, and in the midst of one of the O's, there was the broken cross upside down. Here's the cross, and here's the cross that's been broken like this. That's the sign of the rune, or the sign of the Antichrist. Today we use it as a sign of peace. It's a sign of false peace. It's a sign of man's peace. There is no peace outside of the Prince of Peace, Jesus. The real meaning of the word peace, if I give the good news of peace, the world wants peace, but they don't know how to receive it. Because they got to receive Jesus. And only you can only have peace, Hebrew word, Greek word, both words. You need to be set at one with God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. One, God the Father, you, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. If you are at one with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are in peace. And that leads to peace within. People want peace within. Well, where does it come from? It comes from coming into unity with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, once I come to have His life, and His life is in me, and my life is in Him, and I've given my life to Him, and He's given His life to me, that's covenant. Then I can have a peace within me. Why? Because once I come into union with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then I know what the will of God is for me on the earth. I was talking to my grandsons yesterday, and I was talking about this, and I pointed to them and said, Ryan, Corey, if you will come to find what God's will for you is in this life, you're the only one, I could point to everyone here, you are the only one that can fulfill the particular purpose that God had when He created you. See, God created you. Your mother and father participated, but God is the creator of life. And he has for you a particular purpose. And when you come in to know what that purpose is, you'll have peace with Him. That's the only basis of peace between people. First, unity and peace between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
then peace within. You see, look, we're raising a whole generation of angry children. Yeah. No wonder they're angry.
Yeah.
And have to be sedated, have to be drugged.
Yeah.
To be even controlled.
Yeah.
And no wonder that sets a person against person. There's war between people. There's war between nations. All wars come out of this lack of peace. And Jesus is the only Prince of Peace. Mm-hmm. So shod your feet with the gospel of peace. Hallelujah. Yes, then he says, in addition, take up the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, the highest definition of sin is anything that is not of faith is sin. I'm supposed to do everything I do by faith. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So once more, as we said earlier, we must get the word in our mind, then in our heart. And Romans 10 says, the word of God is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That's how you get it, in your heart. You speak it, so it's in your heart. And then, once it's in your heart, that passage says, you speak what's in your heart, and power of God. Power of God. See, when faith moves in our hearts by speaking, speaking is what, confessing is what, moves the power of God. When I confess on what's in my heart, first I confess to get it from my mind to my heart, but once it's in my heart, then I confess to release the power that God put in it when he put the word there. Because when you get the word in your heart, I mean, this is power in itself. I was healed of cancer 30 years ago. I was healed by the word of God. I'm here to tell you, I was healed by the word of God. It's the only time the Lord said, I don't want you to go to a doctor, don't want you to take any medical treatment. You need my word, you need to get it in your heart. It took me a year before I got it in my heart. And then I finally got it in my heart, and then power of God. Now, I wasn't immediately healed. I thought I would be. It took 5 years, but eventually I was healed. God wants to know whether you really believe. Faith doesn't fade. Faith continues, and like Hebrews 10, it says, after we have believed and truly in faith, we hold fast until we receive. The receiving. God wants us to receive and to walk in faith in all things. You can't walk in the Spirit without walking in faith. You can't walk in faith without walking in the Spirit. That's why, by the way, you need both to be saved and baptized in the Spirit. Then after you're baptized in the Spirit, you need to learn to walk in the Spirit. Because you'll learn to walk in the Spirit. And by faith, do I suddenly have a new personality when I'm Spirit-filled? No. But I can, by faith, even if I don't like, maybe I don't like Ron, I really do, but let's say I didn't. I can believe by faith, and I can receive by faith, and I can release God's love and can flow to Ron, even though myself, I may not want to really do that. I can have those things that are in me controlled by what's in God. By faith, I can receive love or release love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, meekness, now, and take the helmet of salvation. Now, the helmet surrounds the mind. And we said a minute ago that the mind is where Satan attacks. And so, with the mind, biblical hope is mental expectation of good in all things, even in the midst of evil. Biblical hope is mental expectation of good in all things, even in the midst of evil and destructive circumstances.
circumstances and feelings, we must learn to live above them in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. You cannot successfully resist what Satan does if you are a captive of circumstances, if you are a captive of your feelings, if you are a captive of, oh, you can't be healed if you're captive of symptoms. You can't be divinely healed if you're a captive to symptoms. If you take symptoms as the basic reality, it's a reality, but there's a higher reality, it's the Word. And so, God wants us to have a biblical hope. And biblical hope has nothing to do with earthly hope. Earthly hope may happen, but if I have the helmet of salvation around my mind, I have that eager expectation of good in all things, even in evil things, that God will use those evil circumstances to overcome them and to promote the fullness of His salvation in the midst of the worst circumstances. And I will be constantly looking to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is coming. And, you know, it says in 1 John that we should expect to see Jesus. We will see Him. We will become as He is. That hope purifies us even as He is pure.
Praise the Lord.
And so the expectation of seeing Jesus, we need to be eternally minded, not earthly minded. One of the main reasons our faith fails is we look at time. We look at circumstances. Well, it didn't happen. God must not wanted to do it, done it. Well, a day or a month or a year? I mean, come on, God. To God, a day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as a day. But unless without the Holy Spirit, we're not going to think eternally. And the only way we will be successful against the spiritual warfare of the enemy is that we will think eternally, but we have to be led by the Word and the Holy Spirit making the Word alive. And then the sword of the Spirit. This is the only part of the armor that's offensive. The sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And Jesus' name is the eternal Word of God in the book of Revelation. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but He is the eternal Word of God. And God will accomplish, if we get the Word in our heart and speak it, just as I said a minute ago, when is the power of the Word released? Again, I say it again. After we get the Word, we confess it, we get it in our hearts, or our mind, or our hearts. If it stays in our mind, there's no power going to be released. God doesn't care about your speculations, your opinions. I mean, we think that we should give other people a piece of our own mind and opinion. We better give people a piece of God's Word and mind. And truth. And if we get that in our hearts and then speak that, then power of God is released, where people can get set free, people can get healed, people can get delivered. See, this is the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom, Jesus says in Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to every nation as a witness, then the end will come. It's going to be preached. And God told me years ago, it's going to be the nobodies, not going to be the people who have big reputations and big names. It's going to be the nobodies all over the world, who are going all over the world. They've got the Word of God in their heart, they're going to speak the Word, and God is going to move. I mean, a greater move of God than ever before, greater revival coming than ever before in the world's history. Because we are to take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and with the rhema, this Greek word for word here is rhema. And rhema is spoken. Is spoken. See, when God spoke, He created the world. When we speak the Word in our heart, the power of God creates, true prayer, creates what didn't exist before. It doesn't alter circumstances. True prayer, based on faith, based on the Word, based on the sword of the Word. That's why Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. This sword, the sword of the Word. Because the sword of the Word will penetrate anything that the enemy does. It will penetrate even to conquering death. As through Jesus, He conquered death. We will conquer death. After we die, we'll be raised. But we had a person here in July, Domingo, an Indonesian pastor, who was slaughtered by jihadists, Islamic jihadists, had his head 80% cut off.
God took him into heaven. He testified right here in this room. He took him into heaven. He went before Christ. Christ said, I'm going to send you back on the earth. And there's a lot of details I won't go into. He first went back into his body and then died again, and then went back into his body and then was healed. Yeah. I mean, God has power over all this. And sometimes we forget the last one here. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. With this in view, be on the alert, be on the alert. With perseverance, and petition for all the saints. Don't ever stop. The enemy will not stop coming against you. But don't ever give up. Never give up. Persevere. God loves it when you persevere. God loves it when you believe in the midst of difficult circumstances. He loves it when you praise Him in the midst of difficult circumstances. And so learn to pray in the Spirit. If you don't pray in the Spirit, learn to pray in the Spirit. Because God wants you to learn to pray in the Spirit. And this is not for public interpretation. This is praying so that you can praise Him and so that you can take authority. I pray in the Spirit a lot today. Now, I'm going to conclude with this cosmic level tonight because I want to give you a little bit more, and we'll say just a little bit more about the spirit of Babylon because this spirit of Babylon is powerful. It's operated from the beginning of the Tower of Babel in all the major kingdoms, and then it's going to operate in the Antichrist kingdom. So this is in history, but it's in the future. I tried to tell my students teaching history for 48 years that studying history is really studying the pattern of God moving in the past, and He follows the same patterns, but He gradually intervenes more and more. So the more you learn about, let's say, ancient Babylon or ancient Egypt, the more you will know about what's coming. See, I won't name names, but in the political campaign, people were talking about new doctrines and new things and new this and new that. None of it's new. None of it is new. There's nothing new under the sun. Politicians have never thought of anything new throughout all history. And unless they're controlled by Jesus, they're controlled by this spirit, this Babylon spirit, and the spirit of Satan. So, let me look at Revelation 17. Revelation 17. And I think I will not read the whole, let me read the first three. By the way, this chapter is about the harlot. And at the end of the chapter, it talks about the city is the great harlot. And the city of Babylon is the great harlot. But the city represents the system. And the harlot represents the prostitution of God's way. So the harlot represents a prostitution of God's way and a false religious system. This woman has a false religious system. And she will be a part of the Antichrist kingdom. And a false religious system, this is what startled me when I studied this many years ago in teaching Western civilization. When you look at the Babylon and the other kingdoms here that we'll come to, in each one of them, they had the same false religious system. The same rebellion against God. And we're seeing it come in America today. The same rebellion against God today. This Babylonian system is being revived as we speak, as we are sitting here in America today. And I won't try to outline that. It would take too long. But the woman is sitting on a scarlet beast. She's aligned with the Antichrist. The beast is the Antichrist. And there's an Antichrist spirit and a spirit of Babylon. The spirit of Babylon is carried out through all those generations, all those kingdoms, beginning with the Tower of Babel. Remember, Genesis 10 says that they imagined nothing was impossible that they could do. Man thought with world government he could bring world peace, solve every problem. Sorry, God, we don't need you. We'll solve all of our problems with world government.
Yeah.
We think the same thing today.
Mm-hmm.
We think the same thing today. Well, I will say it. I don't want to seem political, but Obama is controlled by people who think world government is the key. Mm-hmm. And that the merging of religions is the key. And that all people will be saved. And so this woman, this false religious system, this is the Babylonian system, seven heads, ten horns, that's ten kingdoms and then seven out of that. The woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and had all these, but she was unclean, she was immoral. One of the keys to this religious system is it promotes sexual immorality and all kinds of immorality. The worship systems in all of the ancient kingdoms had worship of sexual immorality, and sexual immorality was involved in the, not only ritual prostitutes, but it was involved in all of the worship systems. All of them. All of them. You can see we're reviving that system, but we don't know what we're doing. We don't think it has anything to do with religion. We don't think it has anything to do with the spirit. It does. And notice in your Bible, in my Bible, it says Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And this is in caps. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. In other words, this is a false religious system that is a harlot system, harlotry against the true God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And see, Nimrod, who was the first one who built the original eight cities and built the Tower of Babel, was a great hunter before the Lord and apparently knew the Lord and then fell away. So apostasy created this system. A falling away from God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit created this system. This system was born in apostasy. So as more people fall away, more are going to come under the system. In fact, it'll go together. And Paul says in Thessalonians that Jesus won't come back until the great apostasy, until there is a great falling away. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus, and when I saw her, I wondered greatly. There will be great persecution of Jews and Christians, of genuine Christians. Great persecution. Don't fear this. Don't fear this. Don't fear this. I mean, I've been in China, and they say, don't pray that the persecution and pray that we will come above it. Same thing in Vietnam. Same thing in Cambodia. Pray that we'll come above it. I don't want to go through persecution. The flesh doesn't want to go through persecution, but sometimes God has to allow. Jesus was perfected through the things which he suffered. And so God has to allow sometimes. We learn more in hard times than we learn in easy times in our lives. I don't want them. I'm alive, but I don't want them. But nevertheless, when they come, it's how we meet the problems that come. It's how, and the problems will go, but it's how we meet them. And we can meet them with joy and faith and hope. And we can encourage others to do this. So don't be concerned. Yes, there will be some who are martyred. And there will be some who are divinely protected. And that's in God's hands. We just leave that in God's hands. And then, I'm not going to read this, so I'll take too long. There is the Antichrist in verse 8, and then he was and he is not, and then he is, and he seems to come up out of the abyss. He seems to come alive from the dead. I don't know whether he comes alive from the dead, but he seems to come alive from the dead, and people will think he comes alive from the dead, and this will cause him. But let me emphasize, this Babylonian system promotes reincarnation, not resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus is unique in the world because Jesus was resurrected and received a new heavenly body. Reincarnation is an evil Babylonian satanic teaching that, oh, well, if you die, you'll become back as a dog, you'll come back as a horse, you'll come back as another human being, you'll come back. Himmler, who was a Nazi, believed that because he killed 3 million, 4 million, 5 million, 6 million Jews, well, what difference does it make? We'll come back as some other is the lie out of the pit of hell. It's better than the once to die, that, and then after that, the judgment. But this reincarnation, in all of the systems, some God died and then came back to life. In every one of these teachings, in fact, in the lodge in America, there's a teaching in the third degree of Freemasonry, dying, coming back to life, directly out of this mythology and the ancient world. It's penetrated into America. And then, seven heads, five have fallen, one is, and the other is to come. Now, here are the five that are fallen: Babylon, Egypt, Assyria, Medo-Persia, Greece. The one that is Rome. The one that is to come is the Antichrist. Now, these are the seven kingdoms where this Babylonian false religious system is controlling. And I want to close. I'm going to skip over Ezekiel 28. I want to close with the seven things that are in the Babylonian system that we will see again raised up in the Antichrist kingdom. I see them being prepared today in America and around the world. So here are the first. Satan has direct control over this cosmic level spirit of Babylon, over the whole world. Whole world. America will come under its sway too. We have resisted it because of our Christian heritage. But we are gradually seeing the end. Obama said in 2001 or two, the Constitution was in the way of some of the reforms that needed to be made. And most of those reforms have to do with control from the top down, with government taking more and more authority, supposedly providing for people, supposedly dividing the wealth more equally. Men have had that notion since the beginning of time. And it always ends in disaster and destruction. And destruction of wealth. Witchcraft, divination, and sorcery are the three supernatural, spiritual things that control the Babylonian system. Witchcraft, divination, and sorcery. In ancient Babylon, they had three types of priests, specializing in witchcraft, in divination, and in sorcery. And so, the supernatural part of the Dark Age, there is going to be supernatural. That's why some people will think this is a godly thing. Because, as I said, the Antichrist will apparently come back to life. At least it will appear so. It will be someone recognizable that people will recognize. It will be a world figure. I don't know who, but it will be a world figure. But witchcraft is the way Satan uses to control the spirit of man. It has to do with curses and hexes and all kinds of supernatural activity that are described in Deuteronomy 18. I looked at that once before. Divination is to control the mind of man. This is astrology and hypnotism and anything that's mind-controlled. In other words, God wants, or the enemy rather, wants, God wants your spirit, soul, and body, and Satan wants your spirit, soul, and body. And so witchcraft is to control your spirit. By the way, in Haiti, I've been there. Curses put on people, sometimes they die. Actually die. Had to break a curse over a young man many years ago who was under a satanic curse because he had joined a satanic organization and taken a satanic oath. Divination is to control the mind of man. And sorcery is to control the body. Sorcery is enchantment with drugs, sex, and music. What was the 1960s about in America? Control by drugs, sex, music. I'm not saying all music, all modern music is of the enemy, but some of it is. Some of it is. We're going to finish the eight here and then we'll conclude for tonight. Self-salvation using both occult and intellectual knowledge. We can save ourselves. We can save ourselves. We don't need you, God. Knowledge. Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Knowledge. But occult knowledge, supernatural dark knowledge, as well as intellectual knowledge. Six. Confusion, error, lying, and falsehood. Now, this is a spirit, and so it isn't just a falsehood here or there, or a lie here and there. It is a total confusion as to what is true and what is false. And such a total confusion that the belief will be that the truth is false and what is false is true. And they'll absolutely believe it. And when the people in control of this persecute Christians, they will think they are doing the will of God. Seven, the Nicolaitan and Balaam spirit promoted total control from the people from the top down. Now, I've talked about this before, but it's a part of the Babylonian system. And here's the point. Nikao, Laos, Nicholas, the spirit, means control, total control over the common people, all the people. Now listen. See how modern this is. Control both in the government. More and more central control in the government over people, because then you can control their lives if you can make them dependent on government, and people in government can become more powerful, more powerful, more powerful, until they politicalize everything under the control of the government at the top. All in the name of helping the poor against the rich. And control in the church from the top down. And there is a revolution coming. And the Holy Spirit is causing people at the bottom to rise up, getting saved, baptized in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, power of God moving, so that the people... See, people in government can never, in a political system, have the basic power as long as there is a top-down structure. But in the church and spiritually, when we're filled with the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, we can rise up. That's how the Christians in the Roman Empire defeated the greatest empire in the world. Because they had power. They had authority over serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing in each religion. And finally, death and the worship of death. That's the ultimate purpose of Satan. To bring people into death and to worship death. This system is growing. And we'll look at more of the four levels.